Father, through the written word and the spoken word, would you lead us to the living word, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. This is an interesting parable, isn't it, to be looking at the day after we've had a general election in this country. A day when perhaps some of us, if we're not too bored by politics already, are maybe re-evaluating our take on government, on fairness, on equality. How do we want to be governed? How do we want this country to be run? You know, I'm not too sure that I would want my country to be run by the rich landowner that was depicted in the parable. Or would I? In an equal world, and in a fair world, perhaps you should say, in a fair world, shouldn't we all get a fair wage for a fair day's work? Except this landowner seems to want to sow seeds of labour force unrest. He pays everyone the same, whether they've worked 1 hour or whether they've worked one day. Is that fair? It's not fair. It's not fair, Dad. Those of us who've had any experience with children will have heard those words, won't they? It's not fair. But thank God, he doesn't treat us always the way we deserve. In this parable, I don't think is about fair working practice in the economic or the manual labour world. I think this parable is about riches and what we do with them. And it's a parable that are connected with giving up riches for the sake of the kingdom. And I think this is also a parable about how God views each one of us. And there are no prizes for seeing that God views each one of us. That's each one of us sitting in church, each one of us that live in this country, everyone throughout the world. God treats us exactly the same way. We didn't hear all of it, but that parable comes just before, after a time when a rich young man who is seeking eternal life comes to Jesus Christ. Which isn't a bad place to start when you think about it. Where do you go when you're wanting to seek meaning and purpose in life? Where do you go if you want eternal life? As a doctor, I saw a few people that came to me wanting to live forever. I had to disappoint them, I have to say. But this man comes to Jesus, and Jesus tells him. Admittedly, he interrupts the discussion with a little bit about the commandments. But Jesus tells him to go, sell his possessions, and then give the money to the poor. And then he says, come, follow me. Specific instructions to a specific person. And that man goes away grieving, we read. His distress at the thought of selling all the stuff that he's got is akin to him to a bereavement. Before we get tempted to climb up on the moral high ground, how would we feel if Jesus gave us that direct statement? Because I know very well how possessions have a habit of owning me rather than me owning them. But anyway, Peter's listening in on this. Saint Peter. Saint Peter, the one who's been there, done that, wearing the t-shirt sort of guy. Peter leaps in and says, Lord, what do we get for leaving everything and following you? You know, as a guideline, quite often when we see Peter in the Gospels, we can look at ourselves. Because really often, Peter represents not only the disciples, but also us as followers of Jesus Christ. So when you see Peter interacting with Jesus, just have a look at yourself and see, how is this speaking to me? But Peter is promised 100-fold restitution and eternal life. And then just in case that's taken a bit too much like favoritism, Jesus follows it up with the parable we heard just now, read to us by Hugh. As a parable, it seems to say to me, it's not what we do or the way that we do it that gets results, but that we're all to be viewed equally and loved equally. So those of us who've had the privilege of being called by God early on in our lives are no different for those who've responded later on. It's not so much about what we do, but it is about Him who calls us. You know, I used to hate organised games at school. I particularly hated those more informal games when we were told to line up against a wall and two team captains were selected and then they chose people to join their team. Does anyone remember that time? Did anyone else like that? Anyone picked last? I was frequently picked last. And it didn't feel good because I knew I was picked last because I was either the fattest or the slowest or the least well coordinated. And it made me very keen not to play that particular game. This parable tells us the kingdom of heaven is not like that. In the kingdom of heaven, we're all treated equally because we're all equally loved, we're all equally respected and chosen. This is in our world. There's a need and a tradition to reward the able and the competent and the clever. And in this world, it's acceptable to do that, and it'd be very hard to change it. And elsewhere in the Bible, we're encouraged to try and outdo each other in showing honour to the other. So competition, the working hard, is not being decried here. But as people who've got at least half an eye on the kingdom of God, it does us well to look out for abuse of positions of favour and power, and to be able to speak to what we see. You know, Jesus, when he spoke, very often spoke in parables to shock us into action. He would speak outrageous statements to make a point. Only we've got so used to the parables, we've lost some of that shock. But think back to the parable of the sower, the first described parable. Here we've got a competent farmer who doesn't sow precious seed on paths or on weedy or on stony ground. He doesn't sow it there, he's expecting a harvest. But in the story of the sower, Jesus describes a farmer who does just that. Here again, in this parable, it may start off with the normal everyday life of working folk, hiring, being hired, working, getting paid. But it comes with this twist in the tale to make us think. Fascinating to me is that as in the world rotates, as this world goes round, there's always going to be someone standing there at 5 o'clock. Someone standing in the marketplace not having had work that day. There's always going to be someone standing there who considers themselves unemployable. Someone who may think they've been beaten by illness, or social circumstance, natural disaster, or just the way of the world. There are always going to be in this world 5 o'clock people who've been overlooked, ignored, talked themselves maybe out of favour. What we read in this story, we read of a landowner saying to men, "You too go into the vineyard. You'll get what is just and fair." As the Amplified version of the Bible says, "You too are wanted. I want you." As a church, I think we need to listen to this parable. For ourselves, maybe. Do we feel left out? Do we feel ignored? Do we feel passed over? When you come to God, that's not the case. Peter claims to have left everything to follow Jesus. How did he hear that parable? Was he someone who'd been working all day and wondering why he only got a single denarius? How do we hear this parable? What's it saying to us? Because if we stick to the reward for service approach, we may well find ourselves disappointed. The many who are first will be last, and the last first. But if we dare to see in this parable a sign that there's a landowner out there who's constantly on the lookout, who hires the 5 o'clock people, those who are left to the end, those who aren't chosen as number one for their teams, those who normally wouldn't expect to receive anything. If we look at it like that, we may find ourselves surprised. Because I see in this parable a lesson of expectation and relationship. For all of us, there's the possibility of being called by God. More than a possibility, it will happen. God wants to call each one of us. We can expect that. It will happen. And then there's the delight in relationship, of realizing that we're not of low value, that we're wanted by God, we're called into his garden. And the God who calls us into relationship wants us to work for him and with him in that vineyard. And that God loves us. Because our God is a God of love, whose every action, word, and being is completely grounded in love. And it's God in Jesus Christ who can stand with those who are left standing in the marketplace and say, you are wanted and loved. There are always going to be those who don't feel worthy, who don't feel special, who feel low down on the pecking order. It might be you. It might be me. But let's look again. And let's look at this generous landowner who comes looking even when we think we've missed the deadline. And then who out there who needs to hear this story told today? You are going to a place where God has put you. Take those words to the person who needs to hear that God loves them. And offer these words in the name of our God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.